This is Seven Mountain Business Radio. Each week, local experts discuss how the Bible is filled with sound business advice. Learn how to build effective systems, marketing, real estate mastery, and more. Now, here is your host, Karen Conrad.
Good morning and welcome to Seven Mountains Kingdom Business Radio. My name is Karen Conrad and I'm your host. And I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm so excited about this series. And you probably say, Karen, you say that every week. I do, because I really do try to seek God on what to talk about. And so I feel like this is a really relevant topic right now. And it's called Vision to Reality. And, you know, there's so many of us that have got such a big dream in our heart. We know that God has called us to do amazing things in business or the marketplace. And sometimes we need just a little help on how to take it from where I see what I'm supposed to do in the spirit, or we might say in my imagination, or I see it on the inside, but I am having trouble getting it actually to move forward so that it is reality in our natural world and where it can actually make an impact. So that's what this series is all about. And I'm just really glad that you joined me this morning. So here we are. We're on KRDL News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM. You can always listen live if you are not near a radio at krdo.com. And you can listen to the program on your mobile or desktop. And if this is too early for you on a Saturday, or you're busy, or maybe you're in another time zone, because I know that I've actually got quite an international following, which is awesome, you can listen at any time at krdonewsradio.podbean.com. All right, so vision to reality. There's seven steps that we've been talking about, and we've gotten through a couple of them. And as I was really studying this, and just so you know, in my over 30 years of leadership and in executive positions, I will tell you this is probably the sweet spot for me, meaning that when I come into an organization, or as I contribute to an organization or working on my own businesses, one of the things that always comes my way are projects or visions or things that we know we're supposed to do, but we need some help actually implementing them and bringing them into reality. And so all my career, even when I didn't really understand that this was the purpose that God had placed on my life, is to help people bring their vision to reality, which would be God's vision in their life to reality. I was just always in the situation where I could help people to achieve their goals, objectives, and their vision. You know, it's one of the things I've talked about in my purpose training or teaching is your purpose is not your job. Okay, so let's just be clear with that, because it would be really hard if my purpose was my job and I had a bad day in my job, I would feel like I was a failure. Okay, so God's a little more broad-based with that, meaning he looks at our life through a broader lens than it just being a job. And I think it's really important that you and I understand that so that we're able to go into situations and we're able to function in our purpose, okay, and bring those strengths and those gifts and talents to the situation that's placed before us. But let's be honest, jobs come and go. Businesses can come and go. And I've spent many years with my whole emotional state at the time, basically, based on if I had a good day or a bad day at work, because I didn't understand this. I felt like my success as a person was based on how well I did in a job. Well, with vision to reality, understanding that that's actually my purpose, and I'm sharing those things with you so that you can take the steps that God put on my heart and showed me throughout the 30 years, and you can apply them into your business. So here's those steps, just a real quick review here. We've got step one, what's your vision? So if you didn't hear the last two episodes, I would go on the KRDO News radio.podbean.com and listen to them, because I really explained a lot about the vision that God's given you and that vision statement and just making sure that you understand what a vision statement is. It's very, very important that you have that, because that's something that you can tap into individually, but also your team members and your employees and even your customers. They make choices of who they do business with, you know, sometimes based on the vision of that company. Step two is the importance of a plan, which we'll be digging into more deeply today. Step three, have you done a SWOT? Step four is setting benchmarks. Step five is developing strategies. Step six is strategic action plans. And step seven is assigning that follow-up. So let's dig in here and jump into that step two, which is the importance of a plan. You've probably heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating. One of the things in my 30 years that I realized was the difference maker between a successful organization and one that maybe is not so successful is implementation. The one thing I've seen that sets successful organizations and businesses apart is successful implementation. If we have a boatload of ideas, which all of you have been in meetings where we've had great ideas, but really it's until someone takes the initiative to name the priorities, make a plan, and break it down into actionable tasks that brings you the results that you are desiring. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. The one thing that I've seen that sets successful organizations and businesses apart the most is successful implementation. So I know that I spent a lot of time in meetings. Obviously, when you're in business and leadership over 30 years, you're in a lot of meetings, maybe too many, right? but there's so many of those times where, wow, we had some amazing things come to the table, even some innovative things that we would actually, we were purposeful and we would draw those things out. We would, we would mine for ideas. But what I learned and what I observed is that when you're lacking that plan or that implementation, as much as you might want to pull information from your team members and they're excited at the time, if you don't actually follow through and create a plan, you can actually discourage your team members. So it almost has like the opposite effect. So one, I saw this in banking. So many of you know that I was in banking for 25 years. And one of the companies that I worked with the longest actually is probably my best time in banking is when I worked for a leadership team out of Macon, Georgia. And they were just excellent. I learned so much from them. Well, we had four mergers in 5 years. And so those of you that have been in banking or you've been in a business with mergers, you realize that was actually a crazy agenda for us to try to tackle. There's a lot that goes on with that, not only from a culture standpoint, but from technology, and you're bringing in customers and all those things. Well, one of the things that the company did an excellent job of, and they knew this, is that they had to make sure that they made that vision very clear. So not only did they take a lot of time with the board going into this venture, they purchased, my company was the first one to be purchased, the bank that I work for, and then we acquired after that. So I didn't really, at that point, understand the importance of a vision, okay? Because I'd worked for companies and they kind of threw that vision out there, okay? So it was like the thing you checked off, something that said, yes, we have a vision. Yes, we have a mission, but it was never practically applied, except this team really practically applied it. And so they communicated the vision, and before they even came in to purchase the bank that I had worked for, they had formed the company, and they had spent time with the board members and the key investors and the people they knew that would be the leadership team. And they developed the vision, the mission. They did values. Okay, so your values are something that you set, and that's how you treat others. Okay, and that's what you're known for. And then you've got the norms, which is the way you treat each other internally. So anyway, back to the vision. So this team would communicate it and every meeting. Okay, every meeting. So we would go into, you know, maybe it was just like a price committee meeting, which you would say is not something that really has to do with vision. But every meeting that we would start, we would go over what that vision is, what our mission, our values, our norms, so that we made sure that everybody that was in that organization knew exactly where we were going. All right, so fast forwarding here to the plans and the implementation. So one of the things that we are working on with that is we had to blend all these cultures together, four cultures together. And we had a group of people that they did not want to be part of a larger organization. They were part of a small bank. They were able to call the shots. And all, once you're trying to bring something together that's unified and consistent, so whether you were doing business in Minnesota, whether you're doing business in Nevada, whether you're doing business in Southern Illinois, there was some consistency with the branding, which is very, very important, especially if you're looking at down the road wanting to sell that organization. Well, we started to learn that we had a little bit of a crisis on our hands, meaning we underestimated, honestly, I would say almost the resistance of some of the smaller banks that we were acquiring to join a larger organization. And we had listening circles that we had scheduled, and we had someone, her name was Pat, and she's very good, very well versed in it. And she knew how to approach the listening circles. She had everything right. She had done it for years, and she knew how to do this by the book. Well, it got so bad in some of these listening circles that she literally had to shut it down. It was no longer productive, and we just had a real problem on our hands. We couldn't even convince people that they needed to get on board. So what we realized is it was time to implement something where we would actually get input, because as we started digging into things, you know, when you're kind of at a high level and you're maybe in that corporate entity and you're making decisions, right, that you know are the right decisions. But sometimes what we don't know is we don't understand all the implications of those decisions out in the ranks. And what we were starting to see is that people really had an opinion, but we weren't providing them with a productive way to actually take those opinions and to apply them, okay? So me and my team created something that was called Mining for Ideas. And this was a really cool program, actually. I was really proud of my team for coming up with this. But there was some discipline that we knew we had to apply. And I'll explain more about that, because I think this is probably something that if you've got employees or team members, you might want to actually take this idea and bring it into your organization. But one of the things we realized is just what I was talking about, is that if we just mined for those ideas, but we didn't follow through with them, maybe we just read them and put them on the table, and if we never responded back to the people that were giving those ideas, we knew that it would actually cause a negative effect and make things worse rather than make them better. So here's what we did. So here's the Mining for Ideas program. First of all, we created a logo so that it was very unique to the Mining for Ideas. And we sat down and created a system that we committed to as a team that we would do for follow-up. So there's a lot of steps to something like this, and there's probably better technology out there now that you could use. But what we did is we created in Outlook, actually, there's a little portion of Outlook that you can have people take a template, and they can grab that template. So we created the Mining for Ideas template. And what we would say is like, okay, we want you to tell us like what your idea is, okay? And most of the time, this was something that would solve a problem. So let's say that we had a teller in Metropolis, Illinois, that realized an inefficiency in the way that maybe we were collecting data for customers that actually caused a lot of issues for them at the teller line. So we would say, tell us what your idea is. And so the idea was that we would collect information in a different way and enter it maybe in a different manner on the system, so that whenever that customer would come in and I would pull up their information, I could see the specific information in a field that would help me to service them better. So she would She would fill that out and just say, here's my idea. Then what we asked is we said, what is the problem that you are solving? Okay, and you can switch those too. You can start out with like, what's a problem you are facing? And then what is a solution? Okay, because you never just want to collect problems. And then we would ask them to give us an idea as to how they thought it could be solved. So people would collect those. They got really excited about it. They would go into Outlook and they would fill that in. And then we would collect those, all right? And then I would insist that my team, every month when we met as a team, we would dedicate about 45 minutes of our team meeting to going through the Mining for Ideas. So we would go through those. We would communicate right away back to the person that posted it. So you can have like an autoresponder and said, hey, we received your idea and we want to thank you for being part of Mining for Ideas. When we would meet, we would go through those. If we had questions, we would engage that person, which they felt extremely valued. Because let's just say I'm way out in the ranks and I don't really have access to executive management except when they come on a quarterly basis. And all at once, I've been productive and I've actually submitted a solution to a problem. And now I hear from my executive team, which reinforces the behavior that we're looking for, right? We're saying you're valued. Thank you for coming alongside the system we've created. And thank you for being solution-based rather than problem-based. So we would let them know we received it. We would get more information as needed to be able to discuss it. And then we would put those ideas in a document we created, like let's just say a PowerPoint type document. We would label that. We would brand it. We would put everybody's ideas in there that they submitted. And we would put a response in there that would say, hey, this is a great idea. This is going to go to the next level into a plan so that we can look at implementation. And by the way, you're going to be part of it because you submitted the idea. Or if it was something that it just wasn't feasible, let's say this idea that I just suggested, like we need to put the data for the customer in a different place. And as we dug into the system, we realized that the system just doesn't have any flexibility with that. We would note that we love this idea. We looked into it, and unfortunately, our system has got some restrictions on it where I can't even take the data and put it in the place that you were saying it would work. And sometimes it would be, however, we think this is valid and we want to find a way to do it. So we want to look at alternatives. Or at that point, we just might say, thank you so much. We love the idea, but we just can't follow through with it. So that discipline was really important. And then listen to this. This was the next step that we took. Then we would print that out and we would include it with a newsletter. We would send the newsletter electronically. Okay, but we would also print it on paper. There's just something about paper. And you might say, oh my goodness, Karen, you know, we don't need paper anymore. Well, you know, I'm in my 50s and I like to read things on paper. But we found that others did too. We would put those in the lunchrooms and in the break room area, but we would also deliver them to every desk. And so this is what would happen. So the person that submitted the idea, okay, when they got that newsletter, what are they looking for? It's kind of like when you have a picture that you're in, who do you look at? I know it's you. I do the same thing. It's like, oh my gosh, did I look goofy? Was my hair okay? You want to see how you look at a picture first. Well, anyway, we found that the employees were just so excited that they would see their name in a newsletter, but that there was a system and a plan to implement the ideas that were coming forth. So that is just a very long example, actually, of a way that you can take some ideas that people are presenting or solve a problem. But honestly, if we did not have a plan and an implementation plan to be able to follow through with it, that great idea would have come to nothing. You know, we did this a similar thing. I'll share one more story here where we had a problem with fraud. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a wave in banking where people from like Nigeria and other countries would reach out to mostly elderly people. And for some reason, I can't even remember what this scam was, but they would send them a letter, I think about how they would make more money, or I'm not sure what else. and they would tell them the wire instructions, okay? So then they would come into the bank, or they would write a check and or deposit a check. That was what it was a lot. They would deposit a check, and they would tell them to wire the money to another country, okay? So that's very common. I'm going to send you a check. You can keep $1,000 of it, and then I want you to send me the $19,000 of that $20,000 back. Well, when you have a fraudulent check that comes into the bank and the customer's been a solid customer, what was happening is that in banks, people were depositing those checks, and it would come back, of course, non-sufficient funds after the wire was sent, and it created a big problem because here we are with customers that, you know, we're having to debit their account $19,000. And so they basically lost, you know, $20,000. Or in other situations where people that they didn't have the money and we were wiring the funds on their request, then that check would come back bad. And guess what? The bank was taking losses. So we were at a point in our organization because we had, I think at the time, like 27 branches. This was getting really, really bad. I mean, we had over $1 million of fraudulent activity happening in a period of months. And we would put, I put discipline things in place, meaning that there was checklists and things that the tellers had to do before they would accept a check. And so we are trying to catch it with training at the teller line. But then if a teller didn't catch it or something slipped through, they would end up with disciplines, you know, because there would be a loss and maybe they didn't follow through or maybe they didn't catch it. And it was just getting to be a really negative situation in the banks. And so we were challenged with, you know, what, first of all, what are we going to do to stop this fraud? That was the main thing, is because the bank was like, we can't just be handling a $1 million loss in a period of months here. So we thought about it. And again, it's like, we've got to do something that's more positive. So we got an innovative group together and came up with a program that was called Fraud Busters. So we kind of took a very negative situation where we were having to discipline people. Some people got fired because of the losses. And it's like, what can we do to make this a positive situation? So the idea came forth to create Fraud Busters. And what we did, this was just an amazing, amazing program. So what we did is we went back and we did more research on the trends of the fraudulent activity. And so we literally did like the scientific method, which I taught in The Effective Entrepreneur, where we made an observation, we made a hypothesis, we gathered documentation. And as a result of that, we were able to create a really good guideline for the team members to follow to be a fraud buster. And so instead of people being afraid that they would miss something, they became excited because if they submitted a fraud buster, guess what? They got recognized in that same newsletter I was telling you about, and they got bonuses. All right. So let's just say a $20,000 check that I was describing came across a table or across a counter. And as a teller, I had my fraud buster program. I knew what to watch for. And instead of going, oh my gosh, I hope I don't miss something here, it was like, oh my goodness, maybe I'll be a fraud buster. You see the difference? It's very positive. So we ended up, so they would catch it and they would send that with that same system. They would take that Outlook form and they would now submit a fraud buster form. And they would give us a copy of the check. They would describe the situation. And we took the same system that we had put in place for the Mining for Ideas, meaning the communication system, the technical system to report things, and we implemented the Fraud Buster program. Do you know that Fraud Buster program saved the bank like $2 million in a year and a half? Instead of it being potentially a $3 million loss, we were not only able to save the company that money, but think about the benefit to our customers. The people that we were just like, I'm so sorry, this is someone's grandma, right? That we have to recoup the money from your account. We were able to negate almost every fraud from this innovative idea. But the way that we could be effective and the way that we made it happen is we put a plan in place. And that's exactly what we are talking about. Now, we are out of time already today. I want to share a little bit more in our next program about implementing a plan, and then we'll go into the SWOT. But I just want to remind you, you are listening to KRDO News Radio at 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM. And this is Karen Conrad, your host for Seven Mountain Kingdom Business Radio. And hey, I've got a lot of resources out there on my website. I haven't even mentioned this program. But if you like some of the things that you're hearing, I actually have got these teachings in video and in CD teaching or MP3 teaching. And I've got a lot of worksheets and downloads that are completely free to you. So go to KarenConrad.net and check out those resources. You can do that in the store. And also, I've got an event coming up that I'm looking at for September 15th that is a strategic business plan building event. This is one of the things that I do for clients, and I just I feel like it's really effective, you guys. It's something that if you need to really address this vision, this mission, and kind of get a strategic business plan together, think about coming to this workshop. It's all day, September 15th, and I'll just share the details with you on the website as far as location and things, so you can go to KarenConrad.net. All right. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. And we will see you, or we will hear you, next weekend. God bless you.
You've been listening to Seven Mountain Business Radio. Heard every Saturday morning at 6:30 on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.